Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, February 13th, 2017. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Lawmakers hear $10 million plan to begin closing Idaho's health insurance coverage gap. Washington Republicans and Democrats propose separate basic education funding plans for complying with state Supreme Court's McCleary decision. Idaho House Committee introduces bill on retaining body camera footage. State Senator Dan Foreman calls climate change a hoax as bill moves through legislature to eliminate mentions of climate change from school science curriculums. And audience hears from growers and restaurateurs in a panel about local foods. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. But first, world headlines from Feature Story News and the Pacifica Radio Network. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho House Health and Welfare Committee voted unanimously today to introduce a bill proposed by Republican Representative Fred Wood of Burley to help close the state's health care gap. Currently, those who make too much to be eligible for Medicaid but too little to qualify for subsidized health insurance under the Affordable Care Act are in what's called the health care coverage gap. The gap exists because the legislature for the last 4 years has refused to expand Medicaid, which would pump federal money into the state to pay for most health care coverage of those in the gap. Many of those in the gap will tap into county's catastrophic health care coverage funds, with the amount over $11,000 per case paid for by the state. Representative Fred Wood said the $10 million would come from the state's Millennium Fund, which uses proceeds from a nationwide tobacco industry lawsuit settlement.
The purpose of this legislation is to authorize primary care, limited prescriptions, and care coordination to Idaho's eligible population with income levels under 100% of federal poverty guidelines who are not eligible for Medicaid, the advanced payment of tax credit, and not currently eligible or enrolled in an employer-sponsored or other government-subsidized health care plan. Because of the finite funds available, this program will only cover a limited subgroup of adults and is not comprehensive care. This legislation will improve the quality of health care in Idaho by providing eligible participants with regular preventive primary care and care management for chronic conditions. This primary care and care coordination would be provided in a manner that further the state's goal to transform Idaho's healthcare system from a volume-based, fee-for-service model to a value-based system of care through clinics utilizing a care coordination and case management model.
That was Representative Fred Wood of Burley. Wood said using the Millennium Fund money would mean other programs currently funded by that pool of money would have to find other funding sources. Wood said there would still be $6.2 million left in the fund each year, enough to continue funding tobacco cessation and prevention programs. Republican Representative Mike Kingsley of Lewiston supported Wood's proposal.
This is such an important thing to Idaho, and you know, there's another bill out there to do similar to this. But you know, we think about primary care, and you know, right now what happens is we're fortunate if we get a cut or something, we go to the doctor, and you know, we get antibiotics or whatever. But indigent people or people that are suffering or don't have the appropriate income, they can't even get that. So that cut becomes an infection, and before long, they're in the emergency room, and we're spending maybe even $100,000 for this. So I just am glad that this is coming about and we're discussing it. And, you know, for Idaho, we can do better. We can get primary care going. So I just thank you for bringing this to our attention, and I hope we can move forward with it.
That was Republican Representative Mike Kingsley of Lewiston. Governor Butch Otter proposed a $30 million primary care access program for those in the gap last year, but that failed in the legislature. That money would have come from the state's general fund. The Idaho House Judiciary Rules and Administration Committee voted today to introduce a bill that would require police departments to retain police body camera footage for 6 months, among other video storage requirements. Currently, there are no statewide standards for preserving footage. The Associated Press reports Teresa Baker of the Idaho Association of Counties proposed the legislation, saying if police departments are required to store footage for more than 6 months, the costs associated with archiving could be out of reach for many departments. The legislation would require archiving footage for longer, in some cases, depending on the content. The bill also requires those making public records requests for body cam footage to specify the date, time, location, and persons involved in the recording in order to receive the footage. The Judiciary Committee will next schedule a hearing on the bill. A bill that prevents Idaho's judicial branch from adopting a loser pay system for assigning attorney fees March 1st passed the Idaho House today by a 61-8 vote. If the bill passes the Senate and is signed by the governor, the courts will continue to only have the option of awarding attorney fees to the winning party in cases, quote, when there is a claim or defense that is brought unreasonably, frivolously, or without foundation. The state Supreme Court last fall put the legislature on notice. They will apply the new loser pay standards starting March 1st unless the law is changed. House Speaker Mike Moyle of Star spoke against the bill, saying the law states judges may award attorney fees in frivolous cases. Moyle said it would probably be better to replace the word may with shall, because under the new law, a neighbor could take over a rancher's land if the rancher is having financial problems and the neighbors sue, which could cost the rancher a lot of money even if the neighbors lose the lawsuit. The Spokesman Review website reported Moyle said on the House floor, "They're broke and they lost it all. Winning brought them nothing. I'm not comfortable that this is the answer." The bill was co-sponsored by House Judiciary Committee Chair Lynn Luker of Boise and Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Patty Ann Lodge of Houston. Republican State Senator Dan Foreman of Idaho Legislative District 5 has written to a constituent concerned with school science standards, saying global warming is, quote, ridiculous nonsense. Foreman, who represents Layton and Benoit counties in the Idaho legislature, responded last week to a constituent's email about a state proposal to remove any mention of climate change from school science curriculums. The House Education Committee approved the removal Thursday. Foreman wrote, "Global warming ranks right up there with Al Gore's phony ozone scare. I hope the legislature enacts legislation to eliminate this ridiculous nonsense from all of our textbooks. The left wing has created a new religion, and it's called the environment. I wish they'd pay more attention to real religion. Maybe we could make real progress in this country. People need to wake up and rediscover critical thinking once again. Too many people are falling victim to these scams foisted on us by liberal zealots with ulterior motives." Although Senator Foreman's email states global warming is nonsense and, quote, the vast majority of credible scientists say so, unquote, his views are contrary to the majority of scientists and academics around the world who believe human industrial activities and fossil fuel consumption are a primary contributor to global climate change. Foreman said climate change is part of a liberal agenda to, quote, push for bigger government and higher taxes in the name of the almighty environment. I know credible scientists in the former Soviet Union who have concluded the Earth is actually cooling. Regarding teaching climate change science in schools, Foreman wrote, "Let's not run around like Chicken Little teaching something that's proven to be anything but credible." According to the Lewiston Tribune, Foreman's email has been distributed among Democratic legislators and activists. State Representative Paulette Jordan of Plummer told her constituents, "If you disagree with Senator Foreman, be sure to let him know how you feel about the issue so that he is representing our district fairly." In other news concerning Senator Foreman, Foreman's abortion as murder bill has failed to gain support and is reported to be dead in the legislature. Foreman's bill would allow the prosecution of women who seek abortions on first-degree murder charges. It would also allow the prosecution of doctors who perform abortions on first-degree murder charges. According to the Lewiston Tribune, Foreman's bill won't be taken up this legislative session. Foreman said he hasn't been able to get a print hearing for it. Foreman's bill is not supported by most pro-life groups, some of which have distanced themselves from the legislation. The paper reported Right to Life of Idaho said criminalizing women in this way is, quote, inconsistent with the historic pro-life position. In a written statement, Right to Life of Idaho said, we have never supported legislation containing criminal penalties for women. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. Republicans in the Washington Senate have already passed an education funding plan they say will solve the constitutional school funding issue in the state Supreme Court's 2012 McCleary decision. The Republican plan would temporarily ban school districts from putting school levies before voters and would shift property tax revenue from wealthier districts to poorer districts that haven't been able to sufficiently fund basic education in recent decades. Under the Republican plan, Seattle school district property owners would have the highest increases in school taxes. Many rural school districts and most school districts in Spokane County would pay lower property taxes for schools under the plan. Democrats are criticizing the plan, and they point out not all Seattle area homeowners are wealthy, and they already pay some of the highest property taxes in the state. Although the Republican plan has passed the Senate, it still faces an uphill battle in the Democratic-controlled House. Democratic Governor Jay Inslee has his own education budget plan to satisfy the requirements of the McCleary decision. Inslee wants to spend $2.4 billion over the next 2 years to fund basic education, with some of that revenue coming from new taxes on carbon emissions and capital gains. A bill proposed by a Republican lawmaker from the Tri-Cities would give Hanford workers the presumption of occupational illness if they get sick. Representative Larry Haler of Richland says his bill grants a similar presumption given to firefighters in Washington starting in 1987. Haler's bill would apply to Hanford workers who get respiratory disease, heart problems after exposure to toxic chemicals, some neurological diseases, and certain cancers. Dozens of workers at Hanford's tank farm along the Columbia River, which stores radioactive and toxic sludge in 177 underground tanks, have been sickened by fumes in recent years. The sludge is waste from decades of plutonium production dating back to World War II. The invisible vapors are toxic but not radioactive. The exact contents of the underground tanks are not known. No representative from the Department of Energy was present for a hearing on Haler's bill Thursday in Olympia. Developers in Washington are continuing their efforts to build a coal export terminal in southwestern Washington at Longview. According to the Daily News newspaper of Longview, Millennium Bulk Terminals and Northwest Alloys have appealed the state's recent decision to reject their sublease of the state's aquatic lands for the coal export project. The proposed terminal would be the exit point to Asia of up to 44 million metric tons of coal arriving by train per year. The trains would travel from Montana and Wyoming through Washington before arriving at the port. Washington Public Lands Commissioner Peter Goldmark denied the developer's request last month. Northwest Alloys, one of the companies who have appealed the decision, owns the site of a former aluminum smelter where they propose to put the new terminal. The company has countered by saying Goldmark's decision infringes on their property rights. The state also claimed the companies didn't provide adequate information of their financial standing, but attorneys for Northwest Alloys say they have cooperated and provided extensive information. Department of Natural Resources spokesperson Joe Smilley said the department is still reviewing how to move forward. Those involved in farming in the area spoke about how they rehabilitate their soil during a panel discussion at the Love Your Food, Love Your Farmer event Friday in Moscow. Greg Semple of Pokey Creek Farm said his farm uses biochar, which is a method of adding charcoal to the soil. Here's Semple, followed by Washington State University entomologist Steve Shepard.
One of the things that I discovered was biochar. And so far, my results have been really good. I increased the size. We grow 4,000 pounds of garlic, and the size increase in our garlic was very, very noticeable. There's also, I mean, it's a balance. We use cover crops and soil amendments and manures, and we spray biologicals that are certified. We're certified organic.
Seeds that are produced under organic systems are adapted for organic systems. So if you want to have an organic garden, you're not going to be spraying. You want plants that are used to those conditions. So as a producer, we try to support organics, buy organic seed whenever we can, and that's largely because those plants end up being more resilient than, you know, plants that were grown and kind of pampered. You know, organic plants get kind of beat up a little bit, and they have to have their defenses up, and that makes a more resilient plant. And then, so for anybody who's a home gardener and you try to grow organic, it's important to, the organic seed's more expensive, but it's good to support the industry, and you'll have better luck.
That was WSU entomologist Steve Shepard, preceded by Greg Semple of Pokey Creek Farm, speaking at the Love Your Food, Love Your Farmer panel discussion Friday at Moscow City Hall. The discussion shifted to how growers and others in the food business decided to move toward organic food. Carly Lilly, who is co-owner of Maialina Pizza Restaurant in Moscow, told how she went from building a restaurant empire with the Sangria Grill franchise to instead working on a more locally focused restaurant.
We just sort of changed our model, and we said, you know, maybe the empire building is, and the, you know, exact amount of the same amount of spice every single time, and the reliance on this lettuce is going to come plastic wrapped in uniform every time, so it reduces our ability or the need for us to train somebody to deal with 17 different varieties of romaine lettuce. That was really important to us back then. And so we just sort of had a mentality shift over the decade and decided that those things didn't inspire us, and we didn't feel that they were the way that we wanted to function within our industry and within the community. And so we scaled back our plans in that regard, but very much pursued plans in other areas. And so we forged relationships with local farmers, and we started shopping at the farmers market, and we started investigating what are the effects of monocropping, and what are the effects of pesticide use. And as we started making these little changes, saying, you know, we're going to get, I think the first time, one was actually a winter greens project that Adam did at the WSU Organic Farm. He had a surplus of spinach, and it was a test to see how much spinach he could grow with passive solar heat and light in during the winter months. Well, it was a lot. And so I said, well, hell, I'll take your spinach. And so we took the spinach, and it was amazing. And the kids at the restaurant were eating the spinach. As I remember, it was a Bordeaux. It was called Bordeaux spinach. It had a red veins, and it was sort of variegated. They were eating it out of the bags like chips, and they were wide-eyed, and they were like, what is this? And I was like, well, it's spinach. And they said, it's so sweet. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's winter spinach. It gets sweeter in the winter. And I don't know exactly the molecular change with the sugars, but it gets sweeter. And they were like, I've never had anything like this. And that was sort of just the beginning, where it was like, not only was this spinach supple and rich and beautiful and tasty, but seeing the effect that it had just on these, you know, early 20-something kids that worked for us, they were their whole sort of approach to food and idea of what food is began to change as we started taking the food out of the plastic in boxes and started bringing it in crates.
That was Maialina Pizza co-owner Carly Lilly speaking during the Love Your Food, Love Your Farmer event Friday at Moscow City Hall. KRFP citizen journalist Chris LaPaglia assisted with this story. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Take a look at the weather, mostly clear through tomorrow night. Low 21 tonight, high 42 tomorrow, low 29 Tuesday night. Increasing clouds with rain likely after 4 p.m. Wednesday, high 44, 60% chance of precipitation, and 90% chance of rain Wednesday and again Thursday, low 37, high 45. Currently 38 degrees at the Pullman Moscow Regional Airport. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, and the recordings of local events and public affairs shows here at KRFP, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Dan Granja assisted with tonight's newscast. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio at 6:30. At 7:30, our weekly call-in talk show, What's Left? And at 9 o'clock, music begins with the Early Morning Enigma. Remember, all editions of the KRFP Evening Report are available for download or streaming on the KRFP website shortly after broadcast. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman Community Radio for the Palouse and 90.3 on your FM dial and online.
KRFP thanks its listeners and sponsors, including Tie-Dye Everything, with locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located near 6th Street at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, you can find Tie-Dye Everything at tiedye-everything.com.